This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Greetings, travelers. So I was 8 or 9 years old when I fell in love with Buck Rogers. Now, this was post-Star Wars. I don't think anybody can understand what happened in 1977 when Star Wars came out, and then suddenly everything was Star Wars because every studio wanted Star Wars. They needed a Star Wars. And so we got Buck Rogers. It's pretty cool that we did. To be fair, I always knew it wasn't Star Wars and it wasn't Battlestar Galactica, but it was somewhere in the middle. I enjoyed it for what it was. And Gil Gerard was the ultimate 80s hero for that. Now, Gil recently left us. He had a very rare form of cancer that hit him pretty hard, but he was 82. He had a good run. I had met him a few times. We've mentioned before that over the years, we bumped into him at conventions as always. He was a stalwart, especially in this area because he lived in North Georgia. So he was in Florida a lot. He was at Dragon Con a lot. And we had just spoke with him last year at Dragon Con. Super nice as always. And why am I bringing it up on Eerie Travels? Well, I bring up all the things I love on Eerie Travels, especially on these shorter ones where I get to have some fun. But there was an episode that came on, and this would have been January 3rd, 1980. And this left an impression on so many young minds, particularly a young Mark Muncy, because this was a monster that came on. This was one of those bottle episodes where it didn't really affect the overarching plot, although there really wasn't much of that back then. Shows didn't really do that much, but Battlestar did, but even that was more like bottle episodes with a theme. But this was a space station. Buck and Wilma are dropping Tweaky off to get repairs at a space station. And they're flying away when suddenly something strange happens. And man, you knew it was going to be big because the title of the episode was Space Vampire. Lean Barnes and David Wise wrote this teleplay. And basically we've got Nosferatu in Buck Rogers. So now 1979, everything was Star Wars, but also everything was Dracula. We had the great Werner Herzog's Nosferatu came out. We had John Badham's Dracula came out. Love at First Bite definitely came out that year. Now, this space vampire, they're cashing in on that. Mixed two popular things. It's what they do. I mean, this show, it's crazy, right? It's disco. And I just remember Erin Gray's outfit in this, of course. She was usually in her officer's outfit, but this one she was in, kind of a different kind of wardrobe because she's about to go on vacation. So it's basically Dracula in space. I mean, we're talking a cheesy episode of a cheesy series here, but it holds up. I watched it again recently. I was like, wow. So let's get into it a little bit before I go too much off on just random things. And yeah, so Space Vampire, the teaser for this was a space age vampire stalks a lonely space station. Well, that's pretty much it, right? So Buck and Wilma, Theta Station, as I said, they're getting away for a vacation, and this starship crashes through a stargate and goes on to a collision course with the station. And Battlestar Galactica me was like, hey, that's the Geminis freighter. And they just reuse the models. They did that a lot in this show, even though it was a couple years difference. The inner atmosphere of Theta is contaminated. And they look at the logs of the spaceship, and it is the IS Demeter. What? Hey, we know this, right? For those, even me who had read Dracula at that age, I knew what was going on. But basically, the logs say that the crew are suffering from hallucinations and mental deteriorations. Perhaps the Denebian virus. The station's doctor says that the crew isn't dead, Buck. They're just drained of spirit. And Buck starts thinking, you know, this isn't a disease, that this might be a being. And he's right. We get the Vorvon, this undead creature who he starts turning the crew. They even get little marks on their neck. And then he's after Wilma. He's going to make her his bride. So it is literally an homage to Dracula. And we're going to get into that, how close they hit, after the break.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Okay, so Buck and Wilma, we've got the setup, right? And you know how Dracula was written as like clippings from Mina's diaries, Seward's records, and Harker's journal? Well, the show, as crazy as the outfits are and space age stuff, they kind of make knowledge of that. Like, so Buck's trying to assemble the story of the Vorvon from basically following media sources from the 25th century. And though it's all visual, it's basically the captain's log from the Demeter. And basically they even had a bounty hunter on the Demeter, a passenger named Halson, which is, you know, obviously Helsing. And then he's even getting communications from Dr. Hewer and Dr. Theopolis back on Earth, which is very similar. So it's so obvious. And they even find a thing to ward off the Vorvons. It's called an ancient power lock. And Buck's own words say, oh, it's the 25th century equivalent of a cross. Yeah, Buck cuts it right to the point. And again, for the Battlestar Galactica fan in me, the ancient power lock, it was Commander Adama's medallion from his collar in Battlestar Galactica. Kind of funny because Lauren Green, right about this time, also played a vampire or Dracula in Hardy Boys. I want to say about a year before this. So yeah, next, you know, Dracula all over this thing. So anyway, the Vorvon can hypnotize his victims. He can change into this form. It's not a bat. He turns into this like blob of energy, and they actually get to do like Vorvon view, almost like the Predator. Pre-Predator, where it's just kind of blood beating around the edges of the camera. And of course, we've just got this, the Vorvon himself looks like Nosferatu. He's got the big bulging head. He's got the unibrow. all that, which is very close to Bram Stoker's description. So they always talk about, well, they steal the idea that Vorvon can't survive in direct sunlight. And so Wilma is now under the control of the creature, and she's, you know, basically zombified, but she's got that seductive nature. And believe me, you haven't lived till you've watched Aaron Gray trying to seduce Buck in that episode. Oof. That hit me on a lot of levels. Anyway, she's flying this ship that the Vorvon's trying to steal, and then she steers it into the local sun, so the natural light kills it, and then she's able to pull out of it at the last minute. Now, there was a whole subplot with Dr. Hewer trying to save a plant that Buck left. Yeah, that's part of the fun of the show, is that these modern futuristic people maybe aren't as advanced as they like to think. And man, that I just can't get over how much fun that was. So what makes that show resonate for me, though, is Erin Gray was literally genuinely terrified. Now, she's usually the one who's calm, collected, and all this, but she's got this weird feeling about the thing, and she's got this weird sense. She was playing the Mina Harker role perfectly in this, and it worked pretty well. And then when she turns on a dime. Now, am I going to say this is the best episode of Buck Rogers to watch? No, they're all fun. I will say this is one of the fun ones that holds up. There's a couple that are actually really, really good television. And man, though, this is probably the one closest for an eerie travel, though. Now, the Vorvon, Dracula, all that. I mean, we could go into vampire lore. We've done enough vampires of the world. So this is vampires out of this world. And I love it. I love the idea of a vampire in space because there's no sunlight. Well, technically, isn't starlight sunlight? I guess it's not as bright. But I like that idea. They basically took Dracula and then the old Star Trek Wolf in the Fold, which updated Jack the Ripper from the original Star Trek series, and just combined the two and made it into great television. One thing, watching it again, it was kind of cool. There was a space bar, and there are two arcade machines that are so 1970s. It's not even funny. It's just, it's classic. But Gil Gerard, we miss you, buddy. You were the best of the best. And man. So I'm just going to leave you with this. Gil Gerard's wife, Janet, announced that she, you know, he'd lost his fight with the cancer. And she posted this. This was from him. If you're reading this, then Janet has posted it as I asked her to. My life has been an amazing journey. The opportunities I've had, the people I've met, and the love I have given and received have made my 82 years on this planet deeply satisfying. My journey has taken me from Arkansas to New York to Los Angeles, and finally to my home in North Georgia with my amazing wife, Janet, of 18 years. It's been a great ride, but inevitably one that comes to a close as mine has. Don't waste your time on anything that doesn't thrill you or bring you love. And I'll see you somewhere out in the cosmos. Buck, you woke up from 500 years of suspended animation, made a made-for-TV movie that got a theatrical release, and you lasted 2 seasons on that. Love seeing you all the time at the cons. Always an honor, always a pleasure. And I can't wait to see you on the other side.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.